She slunk past a row of decrepit terraces. Passers-by drifted up and down the pavement. A tight knot of people huddled outside one of the houses, drinking and smoking. Music leaked through curtainless windows. Devon took a left off the main street to avoid the crowds. There were so many things to remember when she was out and around humans. Feigning cold was one of them. Thinking of it, she drew her coat tight around her, as if bothered by the chill. Walking with sound was another. She scuffed her feet with deliberate heaviness, grinding gravel and dust beneath her heels. Big boots helped with the plodding tread, made her clunky and stompy like a toddler in adult wellies. Her vision in darkness was another awkward one, having to remember to squint and to pick her way across the detritus-littered pavement that she could see with perfect clarity, having to feign a fear she never felt, but which should have ruled her. Solitary human women walked with caution in the night. In short, Devon had always to act like prey and not like the predator she had become. She picked up the pace, keen to get home. The flat she rented, cash only, no questions, occupied a squalid space above a tyre shop. In the daytime, it was noisy, reeked of oil and filled with the conversation of customers. The evenings were quieter, if no less foul-smelling. Down the alley, up the stairs to the back entrance. There was no street-facing door, but that was a good thing. Meant she could come and go by dark side alleys, unwatched by curious eyes. And so could her visitors, when she had them. Privacy was essential. Devon fished out a set of keys, hanging around her neck on a lanyard. The cord was entangled with a brass compass on a steel chain. She shook the lanyard free, slotted the key in, and wrestled briefly with the lock before stepping inside. Since neither she nor her son required light, the flat sat in perpetual dark. It saved on the energy meter and reminded her a little of home, back when home had been welcoming. The cool, unlit calm of Fairweather Manor, with its shade-tinted hallways and shadow-layered libraries. She was expecting human company, though, and switched on all the lights. Cheap bulbs flickered into anemic existence. The flat contained only a claustrophobic living space, a small kitchenette with fold-out table, a bathroom veering off to the left, and a locked bedroom to the right where her son spent much of every day. She dropped her bag by the door, hung her coat on a hook, and clunked across to his room. "Kai, are you awake?" Silence. Then the faintest of shuffles from within. "No lotion, sorry," she said. "They were out. I'll get some tomorrow, eh?" The shuffling stopped. Always, she was tempted to go in and offer comfort of some kind. By the 3-week mark, starvation would have ravaged him to thinness, his suffering spiralling into unbearable agony as his body began to produce toxins. The madness already gnawed his mind, incurable except through his next feed. And even after feeding, the craving would remain ever present. He would either sit in a corner, huddled up and unresponsive, or else attack her in a throbbing rage. Impossible to know which reaction she'd get, and so, finger shaking, she checked and double-checked the bolts instead of going in. One on the top and one on the bottom, both solid things she'd installed herself, and one regular lock that required a key. The room had no window, courtesy of its awkward layout in relation to the shop. No additional security needed there. For once. Someone knocked at the entrance of her flat. She jumped, felt chagrined, then checked her watch. 8:10, bang on time. Just as well she'd not gone back for the lotion. Devon went to let in her guest. He had a name, but she would not allow herself to think it. Better to consider only his role, his profession, the local vicar. He needed to be no more and no less. The vicar waited anxiously on her doorstep, wearing a black and mustard coat that might have been fashionable 40 years ago. He had kind eyes, quiet demeanour, and impressive patience with his quarrelsome congregation. Not touchy-feely with kids and no severe personal problems that she could find after 2 weeks of intense stalking. Everyone had small vices and little problems always, but that was a given, and she could cope with the small stuff. They were only human after all. Thanks for coming. Devon hunched herself smaller. Be uneasy, be reluctant, and above all, be vulnerable. The surefire act that suckered them every time.
Thank you for listening to this clip provided to you by Macmillan Audio. To hear more, look for this title wherever audiobooks are sold.